And you know, the sad thing is that there are many people today, you know, they ask, what can I do? And, you know, they want to stand out on the corner and hand out magazines, or they want to tell you that you got to do this or you got to do that. And so these people had this work mentality, and they said, well, let me, you know, if I take all this time, you know, it's probably going to take a good 2 hours to do all that. And so that'll show the Lord that I'm serious if I take all this time and bring this sacrifice.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with a message titled, How to Please God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Please God.
Micah chapter 6, and Micah was a prophet. Now, when we think back to the prophets, that Israel was divided into the northern and the southern kingdom after Israel went through a civil war, much like America did, and their civil war divided them. And so there were prophets that spoke to the southern kingdom, which was Judah, and then there were prophets that spoke to the northern kingdom, which was Israel. Micah is a prophet that spoke to both kingdoms. God used him to speak both to the northern and the southern kingdom. And in Micah chapter 6, verse 6, we read these words. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. This morning we want to talk about how to please God. How do we please God? Amen. We can't please everybody. So we have to please the Lord. One morning, a wife got up and said to her husband, you know what the day is, right? And he completely had no idea what was going on. And so that day, the man sent flowers to his wife. He took his wife out to dinner, and he bought her a diamond ring. And at the end of the day, his wife said, I've never had such a happy Groundhog Day in all my days. See, he thought he had messed up, right? He thought he forgot something. That's why it pays. Amen. But when the Lord is pleased, Proverbs 16 and verse 7 says that he makes even our enemies to be at peace when the Lord is pleased. You remember when Moses sent the spies up into Israel, and they got the report, and they said that there's giants in the land. And 10 spies brought back a negative report, and 2 spies brought back a positive report. And the 2 spies said, if the Lord be pleased, he will give us the land flowing with milk and honey. And so that lets us know that if the Lord is pleased, that he will give us the desires of our heart. If the Lord is pleased, then he will open doors that no man can shut, and he will shut doors that no man can open. If the Lord is pleased, then he will give us the good land. If the Lord is pleased, we'll have an acceptance that can never be questioned. If the Lord is pleased, we'll have an inheritance that we can never lose. If the Lord is pleased, we'll have a deliverance that cannot be excelled. If the Lord is pleased, we'll have a grace that cannot be limited. If the Lord is pleased, we'll have a hope that can never be disappointed. If the Lord is pleased, we will have a bounty that never can be withdrawn. If the Lord is pleased, we will have an unmet need that will ever always be met. If the Lord is pleased, that we'll have a nearness to God that can never be reversed. If the Lord is pleased, we'll have a peace that can never be disturbed. If the Lord is pleased, we can have a righteousness that will never be tarnished. And if the Lord is pleased, we will have a salvation that can never be lost. When the Lord is pleased. In Micah chapter 6, he's asking the question. The people are asking the question, with what shall we please the Lord? How can we please God? And we find that the reason that they asked this question, if you will look at your notes today, in the context, we see here that God had been good to Israel, and he wanted to tell him why they had turned away from him and fallen into sin. He wanted to know, as good as I have been to you, why is it that you have fallen into sin? In verses 1 and 2, he calls the mountains to testify against his people. He says, let the mountains testify against you according to the goodness of the Lord. The Lord said, what heavy burden have I laid on you? What demands have I put on you? What restrictions have I put on you that make you turn away from me and wander into idolatry and wander into sin? What have I laid on your back that has separated you from me? And then the Lord challenges them in verse 3, stand up and plead your case. And he reminds them in verse 5, remember in the wilderness how I protected you? That when there was a prophet that wanted to pronounce a curse on you, do you remember how I protected you? God says, I've been mighty good to you, that I've taken care of you on many levels. Why is it that you have turned away from me? Maybe God is asking us the question today. Why is it that you have turned from him? What has he done? What has God done to you to make you turn away from him? Sometimes people turn away from God of their own recognizance. They may be living in sin. They may have problems and issues in their life that they are dealing with, and it causes them to turn away from God. I like what Charles Stanley said. He said, put in one hand whatever is keeping you from pleasing God. Put in the other hand pleasing God. And then ask the question, is what's in this hand worth more than what's in this hand? That if it's worth something to you to please God, then we ought to deal with whatever is in our life that's not pleasing unto him, that we ought to deal with those things. And so the people of Israel came to God because they wanted to find out how to get right with him. But the problem was, is that they came according to man's way. And that's a problem with many people. They want to come to God their way, and they don't want to come to God his way. And even to the point where some people want to pay God off. And that's what they want to do. They want to pay him off. Lord, can we pay you off in order for you to be pleased with our life? It's like the man who, his brother died, and he was a wicked scoundrel of an individual. Low down, dirty individual. And the brother came to the preacher, and he said to the preacher, he said, you know, you're trying to build a church. And at the funeral tomorrow, if you will say that my brother was a saint, I'll give you the rest of the money to build the church. And the preacher realized, you know, the guy that passed away, he knew that he was, you know, he knew what kind of person that he was. And so he got up the next day at the service to do the eulogy, speaking of the man who had deceased. He said that this guy was a dirty, low-down, rotten individual. But next to his brother, he's a saint. See, what he was trying to pay, the man was trying to pay the preacher to say something nice, right? He was trying to pay the preacher off. And so that's what these individuals were doing here. They were trying to pay God off in order to be right with him. And they tried to pay him off in three ways. The first way that they tried to pay him off was with quality. Look what they said, verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I bow before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? So they were trying to offer a quality sacrifice. Now, think about all that they had to do. They had to get the animal. They had to bring it to the priest. The priest had to lay his hands and pray on the sacrifice. And then they had to take a knife and kill the animal, cut the skin off of the animal, cut the animal up into different pieces, put the animal on the altar to be sacrificed. Boy, that's a whole lot of work. That's a whole lot that they were willing to go through. And you know, the sad thing is that there are many people today, you know, they ask, what can I do? And you know, they want to stand out on the corner and hand out magazines, or they want to tell you that you got to do this or you got to do that. And so these people had this work mentality, and they said, well, let me, you know, if I take all this time, you know, it's probably going to take a good 2 hours to do all that. And so that'll show the Lord that I'm serious. If I take all this time and bring this sacrifice, shall I come before him with burnt offerings? And then they say, shall I come with a calf that's a year old? Now, after 7 days, a calf could be offered. But as we read back in the book of Leviticus, you know, Leviticus said that the ideal offering was a year old calf. And so they said, Lord, shall we come before you with burnt offerings? Or shall we come before you with a year-old calf? We know, Lord, that you said in the book of Moses, you said in the law that we should bring that year-old calf. If we bring that calf, Lord, we realize that we have sinned. And Lord, this is what we want to do. We want to come to you. We want to make things right. So they offered quality. And they said, just in case the quality isn't enough, let us offer quantity. Look what it says. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Will that please the Lord? They wanted to, if you look in the notes again, they were willing to make the offering of a king. Several kings of Israel offered 1,000 burnt offerings. On another occasion, 22,000 oxen, 120 sheep. At one time, it was a king that offered 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep. On another occasion, a king offered 30,000 goats and rams and 3,000 cattle. So they said, Lord, even if the quality is not enough, Lord, let us offer thousands of rams unto you. We want to please you, God, and in order to please you, let's offer all these rams. Can you notice they didn't say 1,000? They said thousands of rams, and what else? 10,000 rivers of oil. As we read in Deuteronomy and another place in Ezekiel, that oil was expensive, and oil at some point accompanied the sacrifice. And it was so expensive that they could only offer little tiny vials of oil. But what did they say? We're going to put behind us these little tiny vials of oil. Lord, would you be pleased if we offered you 10,000 rivers of oil? They were willing to go through a lot to get right with God. They dealt with the quality burnt offerings. Calves a year old. They dealt with the quantity, thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil. And Lord, if that's not enough, Lord, we are willing to offer our firstborn. Look what he says, verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. My firstborn daughter, Nicole. Lord, I've sinned. Should I give Nicole? Should I offer Nicole to you for my sin? And you know, the thing about it, child sacrifice was forbidden by God. The Israelites didn't practice child sacrifice. There was the heathen around them. They would sacrifice to this god named Molech. And what they would do is they would take their children and this big statue god would be there, and there would be a fire pit in front of the god. And the heathen would take their children and offer them up to their god, and they would throw them in the fire. They said, Lord, should we throw our firstborn in the fire? Will that please you? And see, so that tells you right there that their thinking and their mentality was messed up. Because God never asked them to sacrifice another human being. But they had picked up some of the ways of the world. And when they did it, they were willing to do something that God was not asking for. And if they would have just stopped back to David, look what David said. If you would turn to Psalm 51, David had sinned. He committed a sin with Bathsheba. They had a child, and David had Bathsheba's husband killed. And David says, as he tries to come back to God, as he tries to please God, he says in verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. God is not looking for 10,000 rivers of oil. God is not looking for thousands of rams. God is not looking for burnt offerings. God is not looking for a calf a year old. God is not looking for you to offer your firstborn if your heart is not connected with your offering. God said that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Thou, O God, will not despise. But look what Micah says to the people. He lets them know in verse 8. All this that they wanted to do. And he says in verse 8, he hath shown thee, O man. We can stop right there. He has already shown you. All you got to do is go back and read Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. And he showed you back there what I'm getting ready to tell you. You see, many times we are looking for new ways to please God. We're looking for the latest conference, the latest seminar, the latest technique, all enabled to help us get closer to God. And what is God saying? God said, I've already made it clear to you. Just take a look in the book. Just look in the book. It's already made clear unto you. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. He says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in all these things I delight. These are the things that I delight in. What pleases the Lord? That you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with God. How can I please God? You know, what should I come before the Lord with? See, they were trying outward reformation, and God is looking for internal transformation. He's looking for your heart to change. You can bring all the stuff that you want to bring, but if your heart is not connected to it, it's not going to make you right with God. Look at the first thing he says here. He says, do justly. And as I was studying for this message, I just asked the Lord to really just speak to my heart and convict me, Lord, if this is what you are saying, if this is what pleases you, then, Lord, if there's something here that's not lining up with where I'm at. Show me, God. And so he addresses it in three areas: ethically, morally, and spiritually. First, he goes to their ethical responsibility. Do justly. What does that mean? In the notes I put, first it means to live with a sense of right and wrong. That, you know, there are some people in the world that don't have a sense of right and wrong. People that will just rip you off, steal from you. People that will take the life of another person. You have to wonder where their sense of right or wrong is at. And so God says that if you are going to please me, that you have to live with a sense of right and wrong. And then it means that you order your life according to that sense of right or wrong. Which means that I'm not harming another person with my speech or my action. That when I understand what's right and wrong, that it's my obligation, it's my duty to live in such a way that I don't harm other people, because I'm trying to do justice. I'm trying to live justly. And then finally, it means to speak for the innocent and the underprivileged. That God has called us to speak for the innocent. God has called us to speak for those who can't speak for themselves. God has called us to speak for those who are underprivileged. God has called us to speak for the innocent. Now, we can't take up every cause that's out there, but somewhere in our life, we should be taking up a just cause. That's why I thank God for Bethany Baptist Church. You know, we are trying to take up a just cause. We are trying to feed the hungry in our community. We are trying to give them groceries when they need it. But more than anything else, than groceries, food, clothes, or anything else, that our responsibility is first and foremost is to give them Jesus. That's our first responsibility. And so we can say as a church that we are executing justice, but you got to look at your own life and ask the question, am I a just person? You know, there was one of my favorite cartoons growing up was Underdog. And Underdog, he was for the underdog. He was for the person that couldn't speak for themselves. He was for the person that was being abused. He was for the person that was taken advantage of. And oftentimes they would say, look up in the sky. It's a plane. It's a bird. And then a little old lady would say, it's a frog. And he would say, it's not a plane, nor bird, nor even frog. It's just little old me, underdog. He was for the underdog. He fought for those who were taken advantage of. He fought for those who were misused and abused, that he stood up. And God has called us, when he says to do justice, to do justly, he calls us to be for the underdog. Not only to know what's right and wrong and live with a sense of what's right and wrong, but to stand up for what's right and wrong. If God's people don't stand up for what's right and wrong, who will? The world is going to stand up for themselves. The world is out to get what they can for themselves. God says, I have no hands but your hands. I have no feet but your feet. And what is he saying? He said, you are the vehicle of justice. And so one of the reasons that God was rebuking them, they wanted to bring all these sacrifices, and yet and still they were ripping their own people off. They were letting the poor people starve. They were treating people who were in need as cruel and indifferent. And God rebuked them over and over again for doing that. And he said, now you want to come and do all this. You want to come to church and you want to worship on Sunday morning. You want to come to church. You want to sing praise on Sunday morning. But you want to leave out here and you don't want to commit any acts of justice when you leave. You want to be right with me? Bring your offering to the church. But just don't bring your offering to the church.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Please God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, How to Please God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Please God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Please God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.